It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Next Sunday, I will be in, of all places, Greenland. From Greenland, I'll have a report for you on a place that, well, I've never been before. But we're going up to do a Sporting Classics television show, and I'll give you a sneak peek on that when I get back. But in the meantime, this week, I'm somewhere quite a bit warmer than Greenland, I hope. I'm in Chicago. So this week's show, I want to start off with something that actually occurred, well, in August of 2022, that went under the radar, but it has surfaced again in the context of where is Illinois going with its leadership. And with the passing of Brent Manning, tragic, incredibly sadly, because his leadership is so missed, a month ago, it leaves the question, indeed, where is Illinois and its natural resources and Department of Natural Resources and outdoor heritage and all the things that we need in Illinois to have a high quality lifestyle in the outdoors, whether you want to walk on a trail, whether you want to fish, whether you want to hunt, whether it be birds or animals, whether you just want to enjoy being outdoors. All that's tied to our quality of life. Years and years ago, the governors of Illinois and the legislature set up boards to oversee the department. It was then the Department of Conservation and subsequently became the Department of Natural Resources. And while well-intentioned, over time, these boards became places where governors or legislators put people that they wanted to do favors for, and they became somewhat, they didn't become as strong as they once had been. And I had the pleasure of serving on the Natural Resources Advisory Board under Governor Edgar, and I had the pleasure of serving on it also under Governor Rauner, and I served on the Nature Preserves Commission under Governor Thompson. So I've been around these boards for a while, and I've seen how they work or don't work, and how a very effective director can use these boards to help them accomplish their agenda, and how a director who is not interested in these boards lets them languish and as a result does not often get their agenda through the legislature or have a vision for the DNR. So in August of 2022, Director Colleen Callahan abolished the Illinois Natural Resources Advisory Board, which had on and off over 3 decades. And when Brent Manning was director of that board, it was a tremendous board under George Ryan, Brent Manning, and also under Governor Edgar. That board got a lot accomplished for the natural resources of Illinois. It was very active, that the board members were engaged, and we helped Brent Manning build a very effective Department of Natural Resources. The reason that Director Callahan got rid of the board was it was no longer effective. And in fact, there was infighting, and it had gone from a highly respected group of people to one that really didn't want to be around much. And Director Callahan saw that and realized we had to start over. So she did. And the board is gone. That was almost 2 years ago. We're now in 2024. We still don't have a Natural Resource Advisory Board. We don't know when is likely to be put back in place. We don't know who's going to be on it, how it's going to be selected. And this is a big problem for Illinois, because the director of the Department of Natural Resources has to have a board. Every other state, whether it's a commission or a board, has a form of governance where the director can work with individuals outside of the department to help make the department better and to help make the department achieve its vision. Without a board of seasoned leaders in the conservation community helping a state director, the state director, first of all, doesn't necessarily have the oversight that maybe a board would provide. I'm not saying that's the only reason to have a board, but it does not have a board to help the state with its vision. And Illinois right now does not have a vision when it comes to natural resources. That is absolutely not a comment on Director Finney, who's just been there a short period of time. But you don't create visions overnight, and they tend to move from director to director, which is one of the reasons that it's so disruptive to constantly be switching directors. And again, this is not a comment on the current director, but to only have a director be in position for 3 years or so and then be moved out, as was the case with Colleen Callahan, you can barely get started. And Director Feeney's got the same situation. She's just gotten there. She has to start all over. There's a reason that directors should be in place in states for a long period of time. And you can think of the legendary directors around the country who we've had on the air and referenced frequently, who built these terrific departments of natural resources in states across the country. They were there because they were good at their jobs, and they were there because they built networks that helped them succeed. Illinois right now does not have a network to help the Department of Natural Resources succeed. I don't know what the governor's objective for, if any of you do, I'd be happy to be enlightened. But really what the governor's big, big objectives are for the Department of Natural Resources, they haven't been communicated well. The traditional groups in Illinois that have so supported Department of Natural Resources for so long, those people who enjoy fishing, those people who enjoy hunting, I think feel quite a bit adrift and, in fact, maybe ostracized. And yet they have been at the core of the Department of Natural Resources since its founding. And if the Department of Natural Resources, as it is adding other priorities and other constituent groups, that's all great. But how does all of this come together to form a highly functional Department of Natural Resources? And how does it come together to help the state of Illinois, again, be a leader in the country in the Department of Natural Resources management and attract top talent? Illinois has not been able to attract top talent for a while because our Department of Natural Resources, going back several administrations, was just plundered of its talent because of the way the directors were appointed. And so we're trying to climb out of this hole. And in Illinois, we have the Illinois Conservation Foundation, which I've been involved with on the outside. I've never served on its board. But since the day the idea was conceived by Brent Manning, and he and I sat down with Bill Cullerton Sr. and a few other individuals, leaders in the conservation community at that time, and talked about what could happen if we created a conservation foundation for Illinois. It was one of the early models, the idea being a conservation foundation that had its own board, executive director, was a 501c3, meaning it was a not-for-profit entity, could go out and help sell the merits of the Department of Natural Resources and could go out and create big ideas that would get the private sector to want to help the Department of Natural Resources succeed. That's why it was created, to work to help support the Department of Natural Resources on big ideas that would advance conservation and usage of the outdoors in Illinois. Many states actually have emulated Illinois' model, some of them with incredible success, Florida being probably one of the really bright spots. Certainly Arkansas has got a terrific one. You go around the country, they all followed the Illinois model to some extent or another. But the Illinois model today is unfortunately, like the Department of Natural Resources, it's not advancing in a way that is attracting big ideas, attracting great board members. There's been a real problem in Illinois about appointing people to these boards. The governor's office has been slow to appoint people to the boards. They have to get confirmed by the Senate. That's not been going well. So we have vacancies on some of our most important boards, or we simply abolish these boards, like the Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board, and have never bothered in the past 2 years to put the board back in place, which is, if we see the Department of Natural Resources casting a bit adrift and leaderless, it's not so much the director. It's that the director doesn't have a team on the outside that's helping the director advance the goals of the Department of Natural Resources. And in fact, those goals aren't being well articulated. And that's a whole picture that Illinois faces, which some other states are facing it as well. I think Illinois more so than anywhere else. There's so many model Department of Natural Resources in the country that Illinois can emulate. Brent Manning isn't here anymore to lead the charge. as he did for so many years in trying to get Illinois back on track. But we need to in Illinois. And Director Feeney, we wish you the very greatest success in doing so. And I think you'll find you got thousands of people in Illinois who want to help you. We just need to know what direction we need to start moving in and what the big picture goals are. When I come back in just a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happening with plastics, which I think is a pretty interesting subject, and also electric vehicles, which have a great deal to do with the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me. Really, really interesting story coming out of California, and it has to do with plastic. California has been on the leading edge. It was, in fact, the first state to ban the use of plastic grocery bags in stores. The very flimsy bag, which I call the national tree, if you ever go to Central America, go to Nicaragua, go to Costa Rica, any of those countries, it's just sick. Every tree you look at, it seems like, has plastic bags hanging from it. California said, we're not going to do that here. And a few years ago, it was called a single-use bag, and instead they passed legislation that was designed to fix that. Well, a decade ago, California, as it often is, became the first state in the United States to ban single-use plastic bags to try to stop the intractable plastic waste problem, which we know is one of our biggest problems in the environment. So they came up with this idea of a reusable, heavy-duty plastic bag for customers at shop at grocery stores. And you paid $10 for the privilege of this, buying this reusable bag. It was designed to withstand lots of uses for people to use it over and over again. It was technically supposed to be recyclable, and retailers treated them as exempt, therefore, from the ban, and they were happy to charge you 10 cents. Along came COVID, and suddenly we were told not to reuse any plastic bags. Remember, throw everything away. So a decade after California thought they were solving their plastic bag problem by going to a recyclable bag, they found farmers, in fact, weren't recycling them at all. They were just throwing them away after single use. So what happened is we actually increased in California the waste from plastic. And I quote in the New York Times article on last year, Californians threw away more plastic bait and by mass than when the law was first passed a decade ago. So the law was well-intentioned. The result was millions and millions and millions, tens of millions, actually over a decade, hundreds of millions of Californians pay a bag in the grocery store to buy a heavy plastic bag and then threw it away. The result is we have more plastic bags in California now filling up sites and recycling centers than we did before the law started. To show you, no good intention goes unpunished, but it really leads to the bigger issue, what's California now? So they're trying to get rid of plastic bags altogether. They're going to ban plastic bags. You're not going to be able to use a plastic bag. You can go into a grocery store with a plastic bag, but you cannot purchase one or get one from a grocery store. And instead of using plastic, they're going to give you paper bags. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. They're going to give you paper bags. they're going to charge you for paper bags. Paper bags are sustainable. They're part of sustainable management of forests. They're part of healthy timber industries. We have to continue to morph, which means cutting trees, making paper, making pulp, or we have these inferno fires we're seeing. We have wildlife habitat. It's a very complicated element that goes into management, but paper grocery bags are actually good. California should be giving them away. Instead, they're going to charge customers, I believe they're now going to propose to charge customers 5 cents for every paper bag they get. Okay? The state is going to go and sell logos on the paper bags. So as part of this whole effort to now have you use paper, you're going to be able to buy a paper. You're going to pay 5 cents for a paper bag that somebody bought a logo on. Only in California. But the total comment is that it didn't work because it wasn't well thought out. And the result is we actually are behind where we were 10 years ago. And some advocates are saying if the initial ban would have been effective, first, of course, enforcement, we would have never situation. So we would have been better off just having single-use plastic bags, which I am not a fan of, and I don't think any of us should be a fan of, in California, rather than going to hell. They are now, plastic waste is I've talked about a number of times on the air, plastic waste is really one of the biggest concerns that we have. It doesn't break down. It ends up in the water and in our system for, well, it seems like forever in many cases. We don't know how it's going to break down. The Pacific Ocean, in fact, is just full of particles of plastic that will never go away. And we have this huge dead zone that's floating around the Pacific full of garbage and plastic. A couple of years ago, you may have recalled in the race, sail race from California to Hawaii, two boats became entrapped in this Pacific garbage zone out in the middle of the Pacific off the coast of Hawaii, and they sank and had to be rescued because they couldn't get out of this. They couldn't sail their way out of this garbage zone that's out there. All of this resulting back in, we should be thinking about what truly is recyclable. And as I moved quickly to the next topic, which is headed to Greenland, I do want to say we ought to think more about paper and we ought to think more about timber products because they definitely have a place in our world and perhaps a much bigger place than plastic ever did if we simply look at them as a process through which we won't have these kind of legacy pollutants in our oceans and in our waterways and hanging from trees all over the place. I'm headed to Greenland. I'll have a report for you when I come back. I'm sure it will be cold. Never been there. I'll find out if, in fact, the glaciers are melting. I'll find out if there are ducks there. I'll let you know what the food is like. I can't wait to go. Next week, I'll be back from the far north indeed. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.